will be there.
I want to put it on. I don't know if I've got anything or not, Murphy. And I was calling Ross, and I inadvertently gave the United We Stand number instead of EDS.
Right.
Right. So let me give it to you.
Go ahead.
And it's kind of in the nutshell here.
Right.
I went down to the party yesterday.
Right.
And tonight there, I met with our buddy Hang.
Mm-hmm.
And he set me up with a couple people. We talked around, but one of the people he set me up with was Mrs. Adam Malik.
Now, yes.
I think you know who Malik is in Indonesia, don't you?
Yes, I do.
About the number two man, he is quite powerful.
Yes.
Now, Hang tells me that he is his economic consultant, or actually is an Indonesian economic consultant.
Right.
This is Hang telling me that Hang is an economic consultant.
Right.
For the trade minister.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's also working very close with Malik to try to bring some foreign capital into Malik's party.
Mm-hmm.
Malik is running for office, or his party is running again in July.
Right.
And apparently, I don't know what the deal is, but it sounds like Hang's working some way in trying to get money into a private war chest.
Does this sound similar to the thing that we found in India last year?
Well, there are a little bit of this, but the only thing here is it's pretty doggone credible from one standpoint, and that is Hang just literally walking to Malik's house, and when we sat down with Mrs. Malik, which means that he apparently has pretty good contact there. If he can, you know, we literally had no appointment really set up unless he had it that I didn't know about.
Right.
He said we'd go over sometime in the morning, and we just went over this morning. And she came out, we sat down, we talked.
Hmm.
Now, basically, he was giving her some type of report. But then he introduced me, and I gave her the POW pitch and, you know, told her that I was basically seeking advice from various people in the Far East kind of approached her on a woman-like appeal or a POW problem.
Right.
But I also really got the point across that there was a movement going on in the country and that there was some money in for a group or a party that could get these people out. And I got a call from Hang tonight, and he says he met with Malik tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, apparently, he inferred again that the wife talked to Malik, and Malik would be interested in talking to us about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is anything at all, it's probably the money thing, because I'm sure it's not a humane thing if he's interested.
Right.
It smells a little bit like the Romanian campaign. You know?
Right.
Maybe they're going to pass some resolution or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Malik is number two man there. You know, he's a former ambassador to the Soviet Union.
Yes.
I think he's being considered for the United Nations post. So he's no second-rate official. Hang, I feel, and gets a cut out of this money he gets from Malik.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a special money, and like I say, I think it's probably for the party.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a war chest for this party. And it's not for campaign funds so much as funds that'll come in that the party can use for certain type of projects that'll promote the party image.
All right. Have they indicated that it could be a two-way street and they could do something on the POW issue?
Well, Hang is saying that. Nobody else.
I see.
Now, Mrs. Malik, when I talked to her, she says, would you like Indonesia to help you? And I said, definitely. And, of course, I went into those particular factors.
Mm-hmm.
But when Hang called tonight, he says that Malik is interested in the money factor.
I see.
Now, I have a feeling that Hang, you know, probably oversold his position and said, you know, here's a couple fat ones sitting by,
mm-hmm.
and all you have to do is make a nominal gesture, and you've got the money coming in.
I see.
I mean, that's kind of the way I read it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, Malik seemingly is interested in talking, according to Hang tonight, and I don't think it would hurt us to go back down and sit down with the guy, you know, and just try to get Hang out of the deal entirely.
Right.
But I'm trying to get a hold of Tom right now.
Right, he should be at the Caravel.
Right, and I can't get through till tomorrow morning. There's no line through here until tomorrow morning. But if we do, I'll try to get a meeting set up there for Sunday or Monday, as soon as possible, as soon as we can get Tom down here. But I want Tom to be there when we go in to meet the guy.
Right. That's good. Anything else going on that you want Ross to know about?
No, other than the fact that any type of discussion we'll have with this guy will make very clear it's COD before anything happens.
Right.
Like I say, it could be another pie in the sky, you know. We're getting pretty gun-shy on these things right now, but...
Where are you, at the Malaysia?
Yes, I'm at the Malaysia Hotel.
Okay.
31 Street. Now, let's see what else. Remember Gannison?
Yes.
Well, these were a couple clients of Gannison that he got off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And, kind of breaking the lawyer's confidence over dinner one night indicated these guys were smuggling into South Vietnam. And he got them off, but he was convinced that they were, smuggling.
Right.
So he got in touch with them and told them that I wanted to talk to them. And so I met him in a hotel room. We sat down and discussed the issue a little bit. I think they're pretty small, petty type, convenience type good smugglers.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the map out, I went through the whole drill with them. And they were quite interesting. They were asking some interesting questions. And I think the best thing we could ever hope to get out of them is that they could probably put the word into certain channels that might be effective at that.
Are you satisfied that your telephone there is clear? Where you're talking?
I'm reasonably still here in Singapore, yes.
All right.
Not in Jakarta, though. If we ever call from Jakarta, we can't give you very much information because I'm sure those phones are tapped. That's, pretty much of a police state.
Okay. Let me give you just some off the top of the head, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Chulai?
Yes?
I have a letter.
Uh-huh.
Dated the 19th. Our friend is now in the Quang Tri area.
Mm-hmm.
He went over to, has been sent to work in Vietnam as a mechanic near the present Action,
mm-hmm.
up in that northwest corner of Laos, northwest corner of Vietnam.
Right.
He said before leaving that things had begun to cook on the front burner, but he is afraid that unless we can help, he is going to be stuck where he is for 2 or 3 months. What I am going to do, and I just got this letter this morning, I'm going to contact his superiors here in the States, which he said do, see if we can get him transferred back to the location where he was working, because he felt that it was productive there. In case you get into those areas at any time, you might be aware that something could be cooking here and you might need to see him. Secondly, Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Seahorn from Oregon?
Yes.
The governor there decided not to make that trip, as you well know, but they did make the trip. And the parties saw them in Paris, met with them for a couple of hours, the parties from the north, and told Mrs. Smith, whose husband is missing in the south, that the PRG shortly would have information regarding men in the south.
Holy family. Boy, that's good news.
It's excellent news. Now, I just called Mrs. Smith. I got this word late yesterday. She said that what the man told her was to go to the lady leading the PRG delegation at this moment, that she had this information now, the list and all of that, and perhaps she would give it to her.
Hmm.
She tried to see the lady, and the lady would not see her.
Huh.
So we'll just have to wait and see what develops there. But it's interesting that the people from the north were making such statements. That's the first time we've known they made such a statement.
Right, Maybe this Laotian thing will break a few more things open. You know, they almost have to admit they got troops in Laos now.
They have admitted, according to a CBS News report this morning. Our pitch, America's pitch at the peace talks today in Paris, had our ambassador saying that since North Vietnam has now admitted having troops in the south, in Laos, and in Cambodia, he feels it is time to sit down and begin meaningful negotiations, setting a date for withdrawal of all foreign troops from those countries, which would encompass all troops, just as it says. I have not heard the answer or the reaction, if there was any. I merely heard the report of what our people said, and this was on the early morning news. There is also a report quoting Tu, as saying invasion of the North through the DMZ is imminent. I can't believe that, but that was on this morning also.
Right. Well, Tom should have a pretty good readout on that.
Yes, he should.
One of the reasons we did split up was we talked to Anna Chenault the other day, or when she was here in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, in her very tactful way of doing things, got the point across that Tu was upset that we hadn't been informing him of some of our activities.
Mm-hmm.
Either through, you know, going through the ambassador in Washington in one fashion or another. So, and she kind of inferred it might be a good move on Tom's part to go along with her, or for both of us to go along with her, but we figured we better split up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just make a courtesy call and kind of brief him a little bit and brief some of the South Vietnamese on just what the POW movement is doing in the country.
I believe that's taking place today.
Uh-huh.
I talked with Tom yesterday.
Okay, good.
And he was leaving Thursday, your time.
Right.
To go on into Saigon would be at the Caravel.
Right.
That's what he said, and then I believe he said he probably would be meeting you either on Saturday or Sunday in Bangkok.
That's correct. And all I'm trying to do is get him to change it now to come down here so we can go down to just hop over to Jakarta for a day or two to see Malik.
Right. You've had a very interesting trip from all of your letters and everything.
Yes, it's interesting, Murphy, but there's nothing really, you know, hopeful. I have, you know, really found nothing here that, you know, we can really follow through on.
Is there anything, as it now stands, Tom, unless the two of you encounter something that would change it over there, I am going to go no later than Tuesday of next week, the other direction, to meet with the man. I spoke with him by phone a couple of days ago, and I know in your letters a couple of them have mentioned the fact that a lot of people over there that you have seen keep bringing this man's name into the conversation.
Right.
And if there is anything that you have gleaned from this that I should utilize in talking with him further, let me know about it before Tuesday.
Okay, good. I can't think of anything, Murphy, other than the fact that he does carry an awful lot of weight with him.
Right.
He's had his fingers in a lot of pie with them.
Right.
And not only them, but the people north of them and
right.
north of them.
I believe he indicated in this, if I read him correctly, and I didn't want to get too much in on a telephone conversation with him because I didn't know about the lines in over there, but he indicated that would be his entrance into on this trip, that he would enter the country we're interested in through the other country.
Right.
With a short 2 or 3 day stop in that other country first.
Because
he was just there, you know, about, I suppose December, early December, because when I saw him the last time in France, he had just returned from the other country.
Yeah. Well, Malik can be an awful good aid, you know, if indeed, you know, this thing turns out to be a good deal, for no other reason, if we can just convince him to wire his post in Hanoi and
sure.
put the word out.
Sure. It would be great. How's your weather over there? Hot?
No. It's quite chilly for Singapore. It's been cloudy and about rainy, real rainy.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 75, 78 degrees.
Right. I talked with Sharon yesterday. She's fine, and the family's fine. Said she didn't need anything, and is there any message for her today?
No, just tell her I love her.
Okay.
I don't know when we'll be home yet.
Right.
We're thinking about possibly going to Laos. I got a real good lead today down in Jakarta.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to a money changer down there, and quote-unquote, one of the gold dealers, he gave me the name of a guy in Vientiane.
Mm-hmm.
That I'd never heard of, but he says he goes to Haiphong quite regularly from Vientiane, which sounds like a strange move.
Right. Well, it's all interesting. Tom was telling me yesterday that the Thai people feel, this is the Thai people, not talking with him, but talking to the party that you've been traveling with, seem to think that it might be a bit shaky to go into Vientiane, that something could happen to Vientiane.
Right.
Number one. Number two, they also feel that the people we're trying to get information from in the north, because of all of the focus of attention on the subjects involved, they feel that the people are of more value now than ever.
Yeah.
That is Thai thinking.
Right, right. Well, once Tom and I get together, we'll try to assess both of them. And Ross brought up the question last night that it wasn't wise to go to Vientiane, and we'll just try to assess it all. It seems a shame to be so close if we can't do something, and you know,
mm-hmm.
talking to one or two people. Because I think that's probably the biggest thing we're accomplishing right now, Murphy, and that's we're setting up some, we're letting the word, we're getting the word out.
Right.
We've established some pretty good contacts,
mm-hmm.
Both, you know, in business and in other areas that are sympathetic to the problem. And I think, you know, with a follow-up letter or with a little push here, a little push there, they'll keep their ear to the ground.
Right.
And if something should develop, maybe we'll come back over. But
mm-hmm.
that seems to be the best thing we've done so far, the way I see it.
Right. Now, the other thing that that you might be interested in, Houston is in Paris now.
Oh, great.
Their 17-man delegation. I don't have a readout on if they've been able to get in or not, but they're there.
Right.
And I think that's about the size of it. Everything here is pretty much the status quo. Other than that, we've an awful lot of stepped-up activity, and as a result of the joint session here and Ross's appearance in Mississippi, which went exceedingly well.
Great.
And it was a bad situation because tornadoes ripped through Mississippi the night before he went in, and 70 people were killed. But they still had 2,000 people there. So it worked exceedingly well, I think. And we're getting a tremendous amount of response from throughout the country, people organizing campaigns.
Oh, that's great.
Probably more than ever by the telephone route, and we're just firing out the material that you know we have.
Bobby Stafford went up to Okinawa and gave that speech up there.
Mm-hmm.
Remember you wrote her and asked her if she'd do it?
Yes.
Or you wrote the Okinawa group and asked if they would, you know, get her. Well, they flew her up there, and she spoke, and she wants about 50 packets out there, the Okinawa people do.
Great.
To start a campaign in the Far East.
That's great. She sounds like she's a fairly capable businesswoman, too.
Yeah, she's a pretty good head. You know, she's typically woman, but excuse the expression.
Right.
You know, as far as some of her judgment, I think. But,
Tom, if you will, I reminded TJ yesterday, and I hope he's doing it today, but before you leave the area, in case he has not, please check out with Major Kui and find out the status on the daughter and when she's coming and so forth.
Right. Well, I told Tom to check that out when he was in Saigon, or asked him to.
Right, and I told him yesterday she does not need the work permit. We found out through immigration there, and if they'll just let us know, we'll get airline tickets or whatever is needed to get her over.
Okay, good. All right,
anything else you want to tell Ross?
No, just tell him that I tried to call him and I got the wrong number.
Yes, I'll tell him. He's leaving for Washington shortly. He has a speech there today.
Okay, good. Well, I think it's better to talk to you because I got some information. It's good to get a little bit of feedback.
Right.
But if he wants me, I'm right here at 313, and I'll as soon as we get something on Malik a little more confirmed, I'll let you know.
Very good. Now, you expect to be there until you at least hear from TJ.
Yes, sir.
Which probably means you'll be there through Saturday at least, unless you meet
right.
and move on to the other area.
I've got a few more names here in Singapore that I picked up, so I can follow through on a few things.
Very good.
And, if Tom can get in here a little bit earlier, I don't think we'll be able to meet Malik probably before Monday, but I'm going to try to push Hang. If Hang is, you know, as positive as he thinks he is, I'm going to try to push him to, you know, meet this weekend and no visas, you know, just go move right in on the country without visas.
Right.
It's difficult to get into Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can get those visa things out of the way, he's talking from a little better position, I think.
Right. Well, just stay away from Susie Wong.
Right. We'll see you later.
Good to talk to you, and I'll call Sharon.
Okay.
Take care now. Bye. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I thought I would give you a call and see what your assessment was of the trip over there and see if you have any thoughts for us that we may be able to improve on and the thinking that's going on there now. I'm going over there on Monday.
Tell them I see.
This is Murphy Martin.
Oh, well, let me tell you what we wound up with.
Mm-hmm.
We wound up with a 3.5-hour session with a man who was requested by the North Vietnamese to have an unofficial meeting with me.
I see.
And it could not be publicized.
Right.
And they chose an intermediary organization to sort of outside diplomatic channels to begin a people-to-people negotiation for on behalf of the people of Houston.
I see.
It's the United Towns organization, which is recognized by United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
But no city in America has ever joined it.
I see.
It has cities of North and South Vietnam.
That's interesting.
It has cities of East and West Germany, of Jordan and Israel, but none from the United States or Red China. It has them from all the other countries, Great Britain, France, Germany, Italy. But the European president of that organization personally has accepted the responsibility of delivering the album which told the whole Houston story. But incidentally, Houston's story was told over the telephone to all legations many times.
Wonderful.
We didn't get in to see them.
Right.
We made no physical delivery.
Right.
But I had 3.5 hours with this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know whether he was a ribbon clerk or a shoe salesman.
Right, right.
But I went back to the embassy.
He wasn't Vietnamese?
He was Vietnamese, North Vietnamese.
Right.
And he has a diplomatic passport. This was determined.
Mm-hmm.
And he also stays in Paris all the time, is not an official member of any of the three delegations, but is, according to the embassy, has been very high in the North Vietnamese organization.
Wonderful.
They knew who he was. The lady, Frances Cook, did not know
mm-hmm.
who he was. Mm-hmm. And she said these people go up and down. They're in favor one week and they're not the next week.
Right.
So I checked back to see how I met him. Why was he the man I met?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Count Charles de Chambon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you know him or not.
I've heard the name, yes.
But he is the European president. He's a member of the House of Deputies of the French government. And I asked him after the conference was over, how did I get in touch with this fellow?
Mm-hmm.
He said the official delegates did not want to make a meeting, but they authorized him to meet with me, and it was set up in such a way that they could deny the meeting.
I see.
And it was set up this way.
Mm-hmm.
A sudden call meeting of the some of the European staff or the French staff of the United Towns organization.
I see.
Held a private luncheon in a private dining room of the French Senate restaurant.
Hmm.
And a young lady secretary, French, the Vietnamese representative, and Chambon and I were placed, the four of us, at one end of a table. The other eight were at the other end, and it was as if two separate meetings were going on. They paid no attention to us. We paid no attention to them after the beginning of the first course.
That's interesting.
And the man represented himself as not being able to speak English, although I did notice that he made responses on occasion to statements that I had made without waiting for them to be interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
also noticed, on two occasions at least, that he reacted by shaking his head whenever I was talking without waiting for it to be interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
I early in the conference knew that the man that I was with spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
And I said a lot of things that were not interpreted because the count would say, no, I don't think this should be said.
I see.
But it was said. And
that's
he heard
good
it.
Thinking.
Huh?
That's good thinking on your part.
And then I would not insist on his going ahead and saying it.
Sure.
But the message we took was delivered. The last thing that he told me, he says, I am your lawyer. I am your advocate. Now, this is not Chambon.
This is the Vietnamese.
And I will represent Houston's wishes at the proper place at an appropriate time.
That's very interesting. Now, is he a functioning member then of United Towns, or was he just invited in, you think?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Mm-hmm.
I have not. I can't release this to the local press here, did not release it there, although AP Wire called here this morning from Paris saying that an unconfirmed report had leaked in Paris that I had had a lengthy meeting with representatives of the North Vietnamese government.
Hmm.
And our response was, we're not at liberty to discuss it. We had no official meeting.
Right. Well, that could well be. Now, in days gone by when they have told people that, don't say anything about this to the press and so forth, because the correspondents in Paris, AP, UP, and so forth, do have contacts with these delegations.
Well, we couldn't figure how it leaked. The only people who knew it were our people in the embassy, and as far as I know, only Francis Cook.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, of course, she talked to the ambassador.
Right.
But only they knew it. My delegation knew that I'd been gone an unusual length of time, and when I came back, I just told them I was not able to make an official contact.
Right.
And the press from Houston said, does this mean you made an unofficial contact? And I said, I'm not at liberty to respond,
mm-hmm.
which is the same as saying yes.
Sure,
but
sure.
I did not say yes.
Right.
So, the man, I don't know how heavy he is, but I do know from, at least I believe, from the report they gave, and I believed it, was that he was sent for the purpose of meeting with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he could say, I just happened to run into him at a luncheon.
Right. Did this man try to say what some of them have been saying lately to others when they refused to meet with them, that we will not meet with you because you're trying to embarrass us? Did he use that attack?
Yes. And he couldn't understand why the American people were so upset, and I have a little note here that I'll read you,
mm-hmm.
which he dictated to the secretary. She took it down in shorthand and then translated it into English in longhand.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you should take note of the fact that the North Vietnamese propaganda has never attacked America or the American people as such. They have attacked the administration, one president or another, for the Vietnamese know that the American people are proud.
Mm-hmm.
Second, North Vietnamese have the impression that the American administration is trying to bring the North Vietnam to their knees in order to force them to come to an agreement, but they are not prepared to accept this.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And they gave me the assurance that our prisoners of war were being treated as well as North Vietnamese officers. And it was just a poor country and they just didn't have much.
Mm-hmm. Did he lead you to believe that perhaps had you come alone that they would have seen you?
No.
He didn't?
No. The Laotian thing that broke over the weekend.
Right.
I think damaged any possibility of any delegation getting in after Sunday. The mayor of a small town in Nebraska was there. He did that. Charles de Chambrun. Chabrun, Chabrun.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the organization in English is United Towns Organization. But in French, it is La Fédération Mondiale des Villes, Jumelles. That's 22.
Yes.
A Paris, 13, Rue Racine.
Is that R-A-C-I-N-E?
Yes. Mademoiselle Francois?
Negatively or?
Negatively. Can't use it. And the other guy was shaking his head, too. I'll read that little gem if I can find it. Here it is. No, it isn't. I got it somewhere. Here it is. I wrote, our mission is accomplished. The message has been delivered and the question discussed in detail with a high official of the North Vietnamese. The book has been left in custody and will be presented at the proper time. And he starts shaking his head. Then they came up with this statement that they want me to make. I'm so unorganized here. I'm wondering how I got here.
Well, I think that your trip probably
no,
is.
I guess you just came up there and left. You think what, sir?
I think probably that by far this has been the most productive of anything that has happened with the town's groups, and certainly carries more potential than anything. I think two things are evident, that the pressure they have received from the numerous groups going over, that they would love another avenue in which to function.
Well, if they would try this, I'm for it.
That's great. I think it would be beautiful, and I think you're the man to pursue it.
Here's a statement.
Yes.
That they wrote. Our delegation was unable to establish official contacts with the delegations of North Vietnam, the NLF, for the Pathet Lao. Nevertheless, Mr. Louis Welch had lunch with the European president of the United Towns Organization, who accepted to convey the purpose of our visit to the interested party. Period. They misspelled my name in it. But when they gave me this, I said, well, now let me tell you, the mayor of Houston doesn't just hand out a press release and nobody asked a question about it. Now, the first question is going to be asked. Since you weren't able to establish official contact, does this mean you had unofficial contact?
What do they say to that?
And they said, well, we know the press asked me the question. I said, well, to this? They said, you tell him no. And I said, I am not going to lie. Because the press has ways of finding out anyway, and then somewhere or other it would leak if I did lie.
Mm-hmm.
So my response is not no. My response is, I am not at liberty to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my response.
Right.
Said, that's all right. That's all right. We understand. And I said, they're going to speculate then that if I didn't have official and would not respond on unofficial, then that means I did.
Mm-hmm.
He said, as long as you don't confirm it.
Right.
So that's it.
That's excellent. Mr. Mayor, I've taken a lot of your time. I want you to know, and you probably, Ross gets back into town about noon, and I don't know what your schedule is. He's probably going to want to call you. And
I'm meeting with the families at 1 o'clock, and a press conference at 1:30.
Excellent.
And I'll be back here at the office by, say, 2:30.
Excellent. He'll probably be calling you then.
Okay, fine.
Nice talking with you,
yes, sir.
Bye now.
Representatives of a cross-section of American life who are coming here this week to visit the four elements in the negotiations in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, they're meeting various correspondents, including myself. I just am stuck up there like an armed Charlie while they fire questions at me.
I see.
And, of course, it's the day before I leave, if I leave on Air France.
Right. What I am getting at...
Yes.
You know the party with whom I am associated.
Yes.
I'm thinking that the two of us may come there very quietly to talk with you prior to your departure.
I see.
And I was thinking about coming on Sunday. Coming on Saturday, rather, leaving here on Saturday, which would make arrival time there on Sunday mid-morning.
Yes.
And around 9 o'clock.
I see.
And at some point in time during the Sunday, I know that if you're leaving on the 8th, you probably on Sunday evening, of course, will be busy and would like to be with your family and so forth.
Right.
However, if...
coming in at that time, we could conceivably meet, around, say... 11 o'clock or even, 12 o'clock on the Sunday.
Right. Now, what if Air France settles their strike and you leave on Monday?
Yeah.
At what time do you leave? Would you have any time Monday to meet?
I don't think so. I'm not at, let's see, do I have the schedule in front of me or not? I think it's a fairly early flight.
I see. All right, what is your schedule like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week?
Well, it's pretty bad. it's pretty bad, but something can always be fitted in.
Right. We were thinking possibly
You will realize, of course, because you follow the news, that it's an extremely, unpropitious time for the sort of things we had in mind.
Right.
All these things that I have made, this business of being on the phone, both in New York and... Now, that doesn't come to tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars, but over these past couple of years, there's been a tab. And I don't mind doing it if I'm running a story. And I don't, for example, we had this other thing one night at my studio. Well, hell, dinner that night, the whole crew of people, no sense going into it, ran me 80, 90 bucks. And then I pick up this silly thing, which I think is one of the silliest statements. You work for this guy. Well, I like to be a contact, and I just appreciate a great deal of the work that's been done. But I'm a working stiff, work for a living, have a staff, and so on. Now, ordinarily, I'd say, gee, I'll follow that and get it for you. And I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've called across these United States, and Peru has never once said, has this cost you anything? I pick up this piece about how he's looking to give away money. Well, I don't need anybody's money, but I do think somebody somewhere down the line ought to say, if you're running into any tab, we'll send it to you. Now, it doesn't make any difference. But it's $17 because I dismissed the car that was late on. It's 70, 80 bucks after the broadcast on this European thing. It's a call to London to Vic Feather to find something else, and so on. And frankly, I don't have that kind of money. I just, this has got nothing to do with the call to Philadelphia. But I wanted to lay it on the line as bluntly as I can. I mean, last night, for example, I spoke, I gave up a lot of my time. And this thing who came in was a bunch of industrialists. And I made Perot's point they ought to be contributing. Oh, the guys from American Smelt, the guys from U.S. Steel, the guy from AT&T, and so on. Well, hold on 1 minute. Who's that? I'll take him in 1 minute. So I just say that I don't mean to be unpleasant about this or anything like that. But
well, I didn't realize that had a problem here or anything like that at all. Victor,
if it's
a problem, I mean, send me...
Now that I've had to ask for it...
No.
The point I'm making is I presume that I... we all react. For example, something happened up here today. And it was a simple matter. I've got a judge waiting for me on something, so I'm going to take him. But we all react very, very sharply in our own fashion. And, It's a simple matter. I had to call four people so I could let off steam. But this is me. I'm not going to change. And, you know, I've done it. But Sunday when we read this piece or whenever it was, I sat down and figured it. And there's never word from this fellow. And you know what? You know, I know Nelson Rockefeller. I know Merchants. I know 1,000 of these guys. You know, friendship with them and a 30-cent token will get you on the bus. So what I'm saying is that...
Well, the common denominator here, I think we may be missing now. Whatever, if you've had incurred some expenses, then you let me know and we'll take care of those.
I know, but you see, now that I've asked, I can't.
No, I was not aware that you'd incurred expenses, and I'm sure Ralph was not either.
How do you think these things get done? How do you think, for example, I called London on one guy's credit card, but I had to make another call from New York, for example, to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I got these phones ringing. Murphy, the next time these guys want something, somebody ought to say, if there's a tab, let me know.
Right. But let me say one thing, and I know you're busy.
Yeah, I am.
But I called you because you have reflected so much as we of your great concern for these men, and of course that's the prime objective, these men that are rotting in those camps over there. Now, there's not any way in the world that we would let something interfere with what we consider to be a great relationship with
Victor Rizzo. I know, but the answer is very simple. I like that, and it's all very true, but, you know, I operate, like I said, I'm a working stiff, and I
Victor,
work for a living.
Send me a bill. Send us a bill.
Nah. But
let me know what it is.
Nah, but I think somebody ought to bring this guy down to realism and say that we're not cockroaches at the bottom of a hill.
He has never interpreted that way.
Well,
he doesn't believe that
right.
at all.
I don't want to lose you as a friend, but the answer is, now that I've said it, but at no one time, you know, this thing all about, I laughed out loud when I read it. I mean, you talk to Johnny Powers, that union is not the richest in the world. They got 4,000 unemployed. You know, well, all right, I don't know anything about this. You're always welcome on this phone, but I do want to tell you that every once in a while, he ought to say, look, I got two calls going, but I say it very simply, and I say it quite good-humoredly. A lot of us work for a living.
We realize that.
Yeah, well, then I think that somebody should have said it before. And when the newspapers pick this stuff up, and we've been making calls. Guys like Jay and I, for example, have had dinner. You have it at Toots. It runs 28, 30 bucks. We sit, we talk about this, the campus thing. Well, that's been coming out of my pocket. When you add it up, you know, I don't want it now, but I think somebody ought to realize. And if the men are running there, we're making this fight. We're making one hell of a fight. And I'm certainly willing to give time, energy, and drop dead on it. But I just wanted to, you know, I mean, but I said it. Listen, Murphy.
I'll talk to you later about it.
Okay, bye.
Bye.